Hey guys, welcome to Photography Insights, the show that normally goes behind the scenes with photographers and people in the photography industry. However, I don't know if you've picked up my last podcast, but I've said I'm stopping doing this for the time being because of the coronavirus. The main reason was workload. Whether that's going to continue, I still don't know. I'm now about 10 days into working remotely, and it's been very, very busy. In fact, only the last day did it start to ease down. So from my point of view in the tech world, we'll probably start to see a decline in our needs for a short while. And then we think what will happen is when the virus is hopefully mitigated and calmed down, and everyone starts returning to work, will probably be needed again. So it's interesting times. So basically, this podcast, I wanted to just reach out and talk about Corona, what's been happening, and see how it's affecting you and your lives. I've always said the show is about other people, not myself, and I want to keep that going. It's now the weekend, so I can calm down a little, and it's been nice to relax and do some other jobs. So today I've been for a run, I've cleaned my cars, and me and family have been in the garden, done a bit of work with composting and tidying up the garden. So it's nice in that sense, but obviously that can't last forever. There's only so much of a garden to sort, and then so much of the house to clean. You know, it's going to get boring. But we are resilient. You know, we are thinking about safety first. And, you know, we want to stay alive. So we're basically self-isolating as much as we can. And the times that I have to go to the supermarket, I've done my best to keep my distance. I did put on Facebook about this. Basically, I can honestly say I'm never really nervous about most things, but going shopping during this sort of time was pretty scary. I did it at night, so I'd had a long day. I was very tired and I was very hungry, but we thought it was a good time to go. Hopefully it'd be a bit quieter. So I'll just tell you what happened. Basically, I turned up one of the big supermarket chains in the UK, and I thought it was really good. People were queuing outside 2 metres apart, which meant that they was only letting so many people in at once. And that seemed really good, so I was quite chuffed with that. But when I looked through the window at the checkouts, I noticed there'd been absolutely no difference at all, and that you were literally within a metre of the person. And obviously, you're all putting your cards in the same card machine and touching the same thing. And of course, they're touching all your food that you've just bought. So to me, that didn't work for me. And, you know, I thought about it. But in the end, I got rid of my trolley. And I went and spoke to one of the staff members that was out front, keeping one of the exits blocked. And I was very polite. And I just asked what they're doing, and they actually said that they've looked at several options, but there was no way of keeping your distance when paying. Now I just suggested, why can't they just come out of their seats and move back whilst we pay? Because especially if you're paying on card, why do they even need to be near you? The whole point of using cards is it's there's no contact by that staff member. So they informed me that they couldn't do that. It was against the rules. Whether they meant law or rules, I'm not sure. So I just politely said, well, thanks anyway. And I said, that's not for me. I'm not risking it. So I left that supermarket and I went to the next one. This one was a little bit worse in one way, because when I got to the front doors, there was probably at least three staff inside. And of course, they were still close to each other, which I still think is quite silly in a way. And I asked her a same question about paying. And initially, they said, it's the same, there's nothing they can do. And then one of the younger guys came across, and I just had to stay, still say, though, please, can you keep your distance? And I was civil. And then he explained, you could do the self-checkout. Now, I just said to him, that's fantastic. That's exactly what I want to wear. So I grabbed my trolley. And do you know what? It was so nerve-wracking. I was walking down these aisles. No one was paying any attention to distancing. There were stickers on the floor that they'd not even mentioned. Nothing was one way. So people were going up and down. And I just kept turning my back, trying to keep my 2 meters. But because of other people, I would like walk out the aisle quick to keep out their way, go down an aisle I didn't want to go down, and then go back to the aisle I wanted to. And, you know, it took me forever. And, of course, I'm probably one of the few people that's ever used self-checkout with a trolley full. They're only designed for small baskets, you know, 20 items sort of or less. But they allowed me to do it, and I said, that's fantastic. It means I don't have to touch you or anyone, and you don't need to come near me. You know, the times when there's issues with the weighing part of it, I said, I'll move away, and it worked fine. So I am grateful in that sense that they let me do what I wanted, but it's the general public. I still can't believe attitudes of people, still people going out, still people congregating, and, you know, I've talked to friends about this, and people are still going around each other's houses, and, you know, people are going in their cars to go bike rides into the country, and it's just incredible. And for me, it's all pretty scary. I just literally don't want to leave the house. I don't want to risk anything, and I think that's the right attitude. So, you know, I wonder what you're doing. How are you coping in your countries? Are you in lockdown like we are in the UK? We're down to only necessary visits like supermarket, pharmacy, work for key workers and things like that. And the police are supposed to be enforcing this. Obviously, we don't have a huge police force in this country, and the population's well spread out. So it's unlikely that we'd ever see a police officer, really, to be honest, out here. But yeah, so that's what's going on. You know, I've got to thank a lot of people for putting the sake of health out there first. There's one of our listeners and interviewees, David Collier. He's an anaesthetist in the NHS in the UK. So he administers the drugs that sends us to sleep when we're in operations. And he's having to work all hours. You know, he's amongst it all. And I think it's a very dangerous profession for this time. You know, he's putting a life at risk in his family. And I think it's fantastic what they're doing. You know, and please do reach out to him and thank him if you feel necessary. Because over here, the main message from the government is the number of NHS beds needed will run out if this continues. And that will be truly the end of days, because, you know, they'll have to start deciding between who gets care and who doesn't. So let's hope and pray that we can control this beast before that happens. You know, I've been watching the news around the world and looking at what's been happening. And, you know, it seems like most cases, you know, originally with China, but obviously USA and Iran seems to be really struggling. And, you know, many European countries, Spain, Italy, Germany, Switzerland now, as well as the UK. And then it just made me think, you know, what happens if this sweeps across to, like, third world countries? Because they don't have that access to medical facilities like we do over here. It's pretty scary stuff. You know, and there's many things you can take from what's been happening. And one of the things is, you know, will this force us into recession? Because it does seem plausible, because obviously we're going to have to borrow our way out to support the businesses and employees and that. But, you know, hopefully we'll survive, and the other sectors, like tech, will drive the country into recovery in the future. So that's what I'm hoping. Because obviously the tech industry is going to change going forward. You just see it, it's going to be further and entwined more in daily life. Companies may realise the benefits now of staff working remotely and allow this flexibility. And we'll probably see broadband coverage spread and speeds increase, because it's more likely that the government will start investing, and obviously the internet providers too, because it just shows, you know, even from my small experience of working with local companies, quite a lot of them have started working remotely, and, you know, we've facilitated them. But it takes, you know, power, a bit of money and time. So, and obviously there's other things like, you know, you look at your sky now, there's no trails from the airplanes. Emissions is much better everywhere. You know, you've only got to look at Venice on the news and see that the canal's already cleaner. So it just shows how fast nature works. Without human intervention, because obviously it feels like nature's probably having a holiday at the minute with what we've done in the past. And, you know, will we learn from this? You know, as much as it's fantastic to fly to other countries, and it's been, you know, it's eye-opening for people to see other cultures. It's, you know, it's a great, great thing, and I always promote travel. Do we need airplanes? Other than commercial reasons, you know, and we could probably say this about a lot of industries going forward, but, you know, it's probably a stupid thing to say, but it's just, you know, you're going to start to question a lot of things, I think. And of course, people have talked about how the generations above us have coped in the war and things like that. Well, I don't think the same similarities are there. I think there's many differences. You know, this disease will be very short compared to the world wars they suffered in. You know, they were fought over years. We don't anticipate it being that long. You know, they were on rations, whereas at the minute we're just on limited supplies at worst. And of course, they couldn't communicate with their loved ones other than letters. And now we have the, you know, we can harness the power of global providers that offer real-time video. So that there is that seclusion, but for most who have broadband, there are ways of reaching out to family, friends, even strangers. You can go on anything now and just chat to someone, and, you know, the support groups and all sorts. And of course, on the other side, it's going to be businesses. You know, we've already seen a few businesses who stop trading, or you know, they're going to fall into problems and start losing staff. And obviously, all you guys are obviously artistic sort of people, you know, into photography. You're going to see this because you're going to hear about it all the time. And probably some of you are these people. I know, I feel for everyone. There is nothing you can say. There's going to be hard times. And it's hard for those who, you know, don't have anything to fall back on. They haven't got any meat on the bones or that cash reserve to keep going. So all you can do is hope the government look after everybody, and we'll get through this together. Public transport's obviously been a focus for years in this country about the more and more people using it to help reduce the carbon footprint, get everyone on the same transport. It's a great, great idea. But at the minute, it's the worst thing in the world you can use. You know, I do feel sorry for anyone who lives in a city that can only use public transport because it's the cheapest and convenient thing. I wouldn't want to stand next to someone at the minute. You're touching the same things, the same card machines, the rails you're holding on to. Are they cleaning them? No. What they're doing in London, reducing the amount of services on, so it's making it even more overcrowded. And obviously now more and more of the drivers are getting sick and the staff, so it's going to be hard for city workers, I think, soon as well. To me, it's like Russian roulette. If you catch corona, because you're in such close proximity to everyone. And obviously, we've been telling everyone for years to go out more, do physical things, get away from computers and the online world. But at the minute, it seems our saving grace, really. You hear of everyone doing FaceTiming and Facebook Messenger to each other and things like that. My daughters are already trying it with their friends, and they're watching things like YouTube with people like Ben Fogel to keep them going in the day. And, I've started reaching out to friends and some of you listeners to ask how things are. And, I just think it's one of the few things I can do is just keep in contact and help each other. We've all got the same issues at the minute. It's like I said to a few people, that the virus doesn't care who you are, creed, colour, religion, wealth, that's all irrelevant. You're just a human. And I hope we can get through this together. So one of the things that's come to light really is this Facebook group I set up a couple of months back, the Photographer's Therapy. Obviously, that was just designed for people to talk about their issues. And I think, if anything, it's going to be useful for people to keep in contact through there, to be honest. Everyone's got their own versions of stories and how their lives are going to react to what's going on. So I do hope you check it out. I'm not there to promote anything. There's no gain. I don't put any photography in there. I don't talk about my podcast. It is literally there as a resource for anyone to come in and chat and talk about their real lives and what's going on and how it's affecting them. And then there'll be a few of us help comment, a few people will sit there and they'll like and smile and that. But it's nice. It's really helped a few people already. I've opened up in there and, it is a private group. So everything stays in there, that said. So I hope that is some way useful to some of you. I hope I can start doing a little bit more and getting involved with more people. My workload seemed to just start to drop off a little bit on Friday. So I'm hoping next week will become a little bit easier and I can chill out at night and start talking to you a bit more. Because at the minute, my focus is not on photography. It just feels like it's inconsequential at the minute. And I know it's a job to some of you, and I understand that. And some of you are artists, it's who you are. But for me, my job is in IT, and that has to take precedence at the minute. And earning a wage to support my family. So bear with me. Hopefully, I'll relaunch the show properly soon. We'll get people on board, but I think most people are struggling with focusing at the minute, and that's the last thing you want to talk about. We don't know what the futures are. That there's loads of talk in forums about film companies. Companies that develop your film, they're all going to struggle. They can't keep on staff and that. So who knows what's going to happen to even, your Kodaks and Ilfords. It's been such an exciting period of time for those into film and analogue photography, because the amount of small little companies starting up and people in their sheds and buildings making things and bringing products has been amazing. So, you know, I do hope everyone survives and comes out on the other side better off. And I hope us as humans become better and we look after each other better. All we can do is wait. Stay inside, everyone. Keep talking. And I'll speak to you on the other side. Take care, my friends.